There you go. Cart goes here, cart goes there. There you go.
Okay.
You don't like this one? Well, this is smaller. I like small ones. But there's hardly any string on this one. You better give me the other ones. I can't wrap this. This needs... Okay, thanks. I got it. I got it, Prabhu. I got it. Thanks. You can have the best card cells, but if you don't have good string... Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Gira Varadhari Jaya Gira Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Hari Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Yashoda Jamuna Tira Varachari Kunja Bihari Jaya Tiravarachari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Hare Rama Rama Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jayo Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Stotarshatya Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nityai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramani Namaste Saraswati. Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pastor Vyami Satarani. Kevin, are these yours? These are good. Good string too. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 10, The Lord's Smiling Face. The Summum Bonum. Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, text 43. Sri Shuka Uvacham. Evang Durmantri Bhikkhamsa. Evang Durmantri Bhikkhamsa. Sahasa Mantri Adurmatihi. Sahasa Mantri Adurmatihi. Brahmahingsang hitang mene Brahmahingsang hitang mene Kalapasha brito suraha Kalapasha brito suraha Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Durmantri Bhikkhamsa Sahasa Mantri Adurmatihi Brahma Hingsang Hitang Mene Kalapasha Vrito Suraha Chant. Anyone else, ladies? One sec. Getting my references ready here. Okay. Word for word. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Evam, in this way, Durbantribihi, his bad ministers, Kamsaha, King Kamsa, Saha, along with Sammantriya, after considering very elaborately, Durmatihi, without good intelligence, Brahmahingsam, persecution of the Brahmanas, Hitam, as the best way, Mene, accepted, Kalapasha Abritaha, being bound by the rules and regulations of Yamaraj. Asuraha, because he was a demon. When I'm listening to class, I miss about half of it because of the echo. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's all right? Okay, yeah, I know the key is to eat the mic. That's the key. Oop, confirmed. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus, having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the Brahmanas, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. That's really demonic logic, right? Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami continued. Thus, having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence, because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the Brahmanas, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. If you think 2 and 2 is 5, then everything you do after that is going to be pretty crazy. Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Lochan Das Thakur has sung, Apanakaroma bhunjaye shamana kohaye lochanadas. Instead of taking good instructions from the sages and the shastras, godless non-devotees act whimsically according to their own plans. Actually, however, no one has his own plans because everyone is bound by the laws of nature and must act according to his tendency in material, conditional life. Therefore, one must change one's own decision and follow the decision of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Then one is rescued from punishment by Yamaraj. Kamsa was not uneducated. It appears from his talks with Vasudeva and Devaki that he knew all about the laws of nature. But because of his association with bad ministers, he could not make a clear decision about his welfare. Therefore, the Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya 2254 says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sanghe, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. If one desires his real welfare, he must associate with devotees and saintly persons, and in this way rectify the material condition of his life. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Om Ajñāna Timirandasya Jñānāñjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is kindly opening my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Indeed, we're all born in the darkness of ignorance, and Krishna to give us a hint of where this material world is at took birth in the dark at midnight. We're coming up to it, right? Took birth at dark at midnight. I was also born 48 minutes after midnight. In a prison, Krishna appeared in a prison during a raging storm. That's a big hint of what this material world is all about. It's not a happy place. It's not a comfortable place. It's not a nice place. Let's see what I wrote down here. So it's interesting. Kamsa was educated, Prabhupada said. He knew all about Vedic this and Vedic that. But because of his sangha, his association with bad people, his intelligence was distorted, was demoniac. Kamsa's demonic desires gave him demonic intelligence to come to demonic conclusions. So when Prabhupada is quoting this little stanza from Lochan Das Thakur, the famous Paramakarana song, in Atlanta, Georgia, February 75, Prabhupada famously was visiting the land of Sri Sri Gornitai, Atlanta, Mandir, and he sang, Paroma Karuna Pahundi Jana Itaihi Gora Chandra. He just was loving Gornitai deities in Atlanta, Georgia. So there's a few occasions when Prabhupada would explain this song, Parama Karuna. And he was fond of quoting this line he quoted today. Apana karama bhunjaya shamana kohaye lochanadas. Lochanadas Thakur is taking the part of the conditioned soul, and he's lamenting that I must have been cursed by Yamaraj due to my extreme desires for sense gratification. I must be cursed by Yamaraj because I'm not attracted to Sri Sri Gornitai, the kindest avatars. Saba avatar sara shiromani kevalayananda kanda. I'm not attracted to their blissful process for coming home, their blissful advisories. Therefore, I must be cursed by Yamaraj. Yama, as we know, Yamaraj, he's like the attorney general of the universe. He's the number one lawman. So as soon as we act if we have desires for sense gratification, there's consequences for that. Those are not constitutional desires. Those are unnatural desires. Can you hear me? Okay. I tell you, I'd miss about half these classes in here. So those desires are unconstitutional, therefore we have to get reactions. Just like in a prison, you know, why do people go to prison? Because they don't want to obey the laws. So you got to go to the prison where you're ironically more restricted. I don't care for the laws, I'm going to do what I want, right? But then you go to prison and you're more restricted. You have to follow the laws of the prison. So in the spiritual world, because the desires are all constitutional, they're all about pleasing Krishna. That's why we exist. Eko bahusyam, the one becomes many, so to speak, because everybody's eternal. So it's inconceivable. Becomes many. Anyway, that's the way it's put in the Vedas. Eko, the one, Krishna, bahu, many, syam, becomes. And Prabhupada would give the example. Just like a father or a parent, they expand themselves, they have children to increase their happiness. That's the idea anyway. So Krishna, where does that come from? It comes from Krishna. So he expands himself, but if we decide not to cooperate, because we're little tiny samples of Krishna, we have free will, then we've got to go to a place where we can act out these fantasies, right, of becoming independent controllers and enjoyers. And therefore we get very restricted. Right here in Chicago, my temple president in 1974, well, it was in Evanston, had a darshan with Srila Prabhupada. Amarendra Prabhu, who's an ISKCON lawyer now, and he asked a question to Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, is sense gratification real? It seems real. I experience sense pleasure. Is it a figment of my imagination? What is it? So Prabhupada said, sense gratification is real because it's coming from Krishna. That's Vaishnava philosophy. We don't say everything is mithya, false. It's true, but it's temporary. So sense gratification is real because it's coming from Krishna. But it is, material sense gratification is, and as Prabhupada said, the last word, he started with his finger spanned. It's a full span. And then as he said the last word, he began to close the span. Sense gratification is real because it's coming from Krishna, but it is restricted. And then by the time he said the D in restricted, you could barely see a space between his forefinger and his thumb. So that's our situation here. We're chasing desires that can actually never be fulfilled. Therefore, it's not only Kamsa who's cuckoo. We have become cuckoo. Cuckoo. Cuckoo, is that, you know what cuckoo is? If in English is not in your first line, a little crazy. So in the spiritual world, because all our desires are constitutional, they're natural, they're intrinsic to the soul, whatever we want is granted. You sang, I wasn't here, I was preparing the class, but you just sang the prayer. Oh no, you didn't sing that one. But anyway, Chintamani Prakarasadmasu Kalpa Briksha. All the trees are desire trees. Prabhupada told us you can get from a desire tree anything you want. Why? Because that tree knows you're going to offer it to Krishna. And that's how you're happy. You're not going to greedily just take it for yourself, right? Therefore, the trees here are restrict the supply. They can only give you one kind of fruit, and sometimes the fruits are rotten, or, you know, it's very restricted here. Spiritual world, any kind of fruit, any amount. Similarly, the cows. I've been blessed to live on ISKCON farms for about 20 of my 48 years in Prabhupada's movement. So, has anyone lived on a farm? Did you ever milk cows? Yeah, okay. So you know cows, they like to be milked in the morning and in the evening. They're very regulated creatures. They're, of course, dumb animals, but they're heavily tinged by sattva-gun. So you can't milk them anytime you want because you got to let them recharge. They're milked in the morning, and then they go out and they chew the grass, and then they chew their cud. And their mystic power is they turn that common grass into the miracle food, milk. As it is, it's the miracle food. It's not the stuff we buy in the store. So you can only milk those cows morning and evening. But from the Surabhi cow, you can get as much milk as you want. Because again, you're going to offer it to Krishna. Mother Yashoda is so much in love with Krishna in Vatsalya Bhav that she is a place where she grows special grasses. You're going to hear in this canto, which flavor the milk so nicely for Krishna. You know, do you ever taste milk well, you won't in the store, but sometimes we didn't know what we were doing, sometimes. So we would have our cows graze on ISKCON farms on, what's the name of that? Mustard grass. It's called mustard grass.
Wow.
When the cows eat mustard grass, oh my God, it turns the flavor into the milk into something really funny. Like mustard. So in the spiritual world, yeah, the Surabhi cows, wow, they just give you as much milk any time of day, no limit. They're not constrained by the limitations of flesh and blood and the laws of this material world. So Lochandas Thakur, Apanakaram, Prabhupada's quoting him here, is he really feels like this. They're not just saying it. They really feel, I have no attraction, or Mahaprabhu, right? Nanuragaha in the second Shikshastik. They really feel like I have no attraction, no taste. Mahaprabhu said, if I had attraction, if I had a taste, then how could I, then I couldn't even live in this material world. Or if I loved Krishna, that's proof I don't love Krishna, because if I really loved Krishna, I would just leave this world. I just couldn't stay in this world. Okay. Misused education. Yeah, Prabhupada's making the point, Kamsa was not uneducated. In Isa Upanishad, Prabhupada points out that misused education is worse than ignorance. Why is that? Raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's why it says in Isa Upanishad, worse still are those engaged in the so-called culture of knowledge. And Prabhupada talks about how people do that, and then they, with their ignorance, with that knowledge twisted around their material desires equals ignorance, they mislead others. Yeah. There was once a conference in L.A., in Los Angeles, 1979. It was an Indology conference. Indologists are people who study the philosophy and culture of India. And the head Indologist was a very elderly man named A.L. Basham from the University of Canberra, Australia. And he was the head Indologist in 1979. Now, I was in L.A. at the time serving Prabhupada's BBT as the indexer, and we heard about this conference. So some devotees snuck over to the conference, somehow snuck in, you know, in disguise, just to see what these guys were up to, these scholars of India. And so they found out that the theme of the conference was yogis, swamis, and gurus who had been coming to America, or to the West, since the 1890s. So as the devotees were eavesdropping on the conference, they heard the presenters present, and it was all about these guys who knew something, at least theoretically, about Vedic knowledge, Vedic culture. They were bashing all these yogis, swamis, and gurus. It was a yogi, swami, guru bashing session. And they were having a grand old time, pointing out the, you know, the, how they were cheating, you know, just tailoring the message of the Vedas to pander to the tastes of Westerners, like yoga, you know. Hot yoga, beer yoga, Maharaj mentioned beer yoga. But then at the end of the bashing, the head Indologist, ironically named A.L. Basham, stood up and said, but there was one Swami who came to the West who was not a streamlined Swami, streamlining the message to pander to the tastes of Westerners. And that was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the devotees were in ecstasy. And they had, so all these scholars had to accept what the head Indologist, the leading, the senior Indologist was saying. So that's true. So, yeah, can you imagine? Kamsa had all this knowledge. But because of his sangha, right? Because of his bad association. Sometimes Prabhupada to remind us of the powerful effect of sangha, he would quote a line from the Gita. It's a line from the famous, well, contemplating the objects of the senses, right? Jayato vishayan pungsat. And then the next line, sangasteshu pajayate. And then Prabhupada would quote this line, sangat sanjayate kama. As we sangha, as we associate, so we desire. Or as we say in ordinary parlance, a person is known by the company he keeps. If you want to know me, look at my friends. Once upon a time, a godbrother of mine said in a question and answer, Srila Prabhupada, how can I become a pure devotee? And Prabhupada replied, how does one become a drunkard? You associate with drunks. A drunkard will teach you how to become first-class drunkard. Similarly, right, so that's one of the five top principles. Rupa Goswami lists 64 devotional principles in Nectar of Devotion. The top five in the top five are worshipping the deity and living in a sacred place and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, and associating with devotees. And you know how Rupa Goswami, when you drill down and you go into it deeply, what he's saying? This means we have to associate with devotees who are pure, self-realized, and more advanced than we. It doesn't mean we just hang out, right? And reinforce each other's material attachments forever and ever and ever. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta told that story of the wedding party. Who knows the story of the wedding party? You want to tell it? Well, let's hear somebody who's sure.
Should I say?
Yeah, please.
It's the
story. By the way, I think, before you start, I thought I brought my water bottle in here. Did I leave it over there in the back? Is it there? Okay. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a story of the wedding party going into a boat to the whole family of the groom, I believe. Either the groom or the bride, I can't remember which, but they get in the boat.
And the wedding was going to be far away, right?
The wedding
so
was going
to
be far away.
Overnight.
So they have to be traveling overnight to reach to the boat, to the wedding site, and they happily go into the boat. They sit in the boat and they go to sleep, feeling, and then there is the boatman rowing and rowing and rowing through the night, and they feel, they hear it, the boatman row, and they very sure that things are going as planned. And the morning comes, they wake up, they happily get ready to get into the wedding site, and they find out that they're in the same place that they were. They didn't go anywhere.
Because?
The boatman forgot to take the anchor out of the boat.
The boatman, he never took up the anchor. Similarly, what's the last, remember, you recite the 10 offenses in the morning, right? What do you say at the end?
Maintain material attachment even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Yeah.
This is the catch-all offense that gets us. Right? We can know so many things, so many shlokas, so many things we think we know. But if we don't make a conscious effort to give up our material attachments, we don't get anywhere. You know, Srila Prabhupada would tell the story of how they would catch monkeys in Vrindavan. Okay, tell that one.
Say that you give the monkey through a hole that he can put the hand.
You put the sweet in a bottle, right?
Yes.
All right.
And the monkey can squeeze the hand and then capture the sweet, but when you capture the sweet, the fist doesn't allow to come out of the trap. And then it won't release. It's just so greedy that it won't release the sweet, so it's captured.
Ouch. Right? Isn't that how we are in the material world? Or is St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas, making fun of that, making fun of our attachments, he had a mock prayer. Oh Lord, please give me chastity, but not just yet. Someday. When the Lord, did you ever hear the Indians say that? Excuse me, not just Indians, but that's a very common reply. Yes, when the Lord wants me to, I will surrender. Krishna's saying it right in the Gita for all time, every time, you know. Sarva Dharman, that's what he wants us to do. But we don't want it, so we don't do it. Yeah. Let's look at the rest of the purport where Prabhupada starts quoting CC. But because of Kamsa's bad association with bad ministers, he beat you to it. And I thought I had brought my bottle down, you know, the good, but okay. But because of Kamsa's association with bad ministers, he could not make a clear decision about his welfare. And then Prabhupada quotes a famous verse. Therefore, the Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya 22:54 says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi, Labha Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Now, Prabhupada doesn't give the translation. Let's look at it. Quote, the verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, a labha matra, right? I think it's 11/5 of a second, something like that, technically. One can attain all success, even by a moment, if we associate properly, if we're ready. It depends on the state of our desire. Purport, just a one-line purport, and Prabhupada, oh, here we go. Yeah, I got it a little wrong here. According to astronomical calculations, a lava is 1/11 of a second. So it's, just 1/11 of a second. Sometimes people would meet Prabhupada for the first time. I had a godbrother, Subal, who became Swami. And he said when he first saw Srila Prabhupada, when they were first calling him Swamiji, It was he saw Prabhupada at the I forget exactly. Anyway, he saw Prabhupada, and immediately, just by seeing Prabhupada and his pure presence, his aura, he thought, at last, someone who won't cheat me. Just seeing Prabhupada. I first saw Srila Prabhupada in Detroit. Most of us saw Prabhupada for the first time at airports. He was like a jet-age Narada Muni. You know, he would fly in, fly out. And the plane was late, and Prabhupada must have been the last one off the plane. We were like going crazy trying to see Prabhupada. Finally, I knew Prabhupada must be in the vicinity because I saw all these devotees going, just bowing down in big lines, you know, in big phalanxes. People were just hitting the deck. And then it happened to me because I saw Prabhupada floating up an escalator. Myself and my godbrother Satya Narayan Prabhu were charter members of the Floaters Club. We swear that Prabhupada was not touching the ground. So the same thing happened to me. I saw Prabhupada floating up the escalator, and then I just reflexively, automatically went, because, you know why? Because in one person, we were seeing absolute humility channeling absolute power. You don't see that in the material world. When people have some power, they might fake humility, but they're really full of themselves. And when they're humble, it's because they've been just beaten down by the material energy. That's Maya's job, is to destroy our fantasies of controlling and enjoying in the material world. So it just makes you want to bow down when you see that. Absolute power coming through absolute humility. Okay, so, but the next text is the same thing. Listen to this famous verse. Tulaya malavena pi nasvargang na punarbhavam bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kimuta shishaha. This is, I believe it's Shonaka Rishi, spokesperson for the sages, Naimisharanya Tasutta. Quote, the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. You know, there's this theology out there that Donald Trump was embracing when he was running for president. Prosperity theology. The more materially successful you are, it's a real sign that you have the grace of God. It's just the opposite, actually. Because generally, when we're materially well off, we don't think of God. That's what Queen Kunti said. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir Edamana Madakpuman Naivarhat Yabidhatum Vai Tvamakin Chenagocharam. O Lord, those who are, I forget exactly how she puts it, those who have Janma, good birth, Aishvarya, good wealth, Shruta, good education, Shri, bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling, because they're intoxicated. We become intoxicated with these things because they appear to give us the facility to enjoy. That's why we've come here. They feed that material desire. Okay, let's look at the purport. It's not long. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13. This verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices performed by the great sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that association with a devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices. elevation to heavenly planets, or merging into the existence of the Supreme. So when I was fooling around with this phone before, I did bookmark 118.13, which has a longer purport, and it goes into it more deeply about the value of association. Okay. All right. Let's do it. Here it is, coming up. Hare Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit cursed by a Brahmin boy. And then in the 13th verse of the... Here it is. Yeah, it's the same verse about the value of association with a devotee of the Lord. Now, Prabhupada purports the verse as it's spoken extensively, when it was spoken. In the CC, he just alluded to it. Okay, purport. When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculations aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called Upunar Bhava, no more birth and death, no more material, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria. It means it's just a dream. Prabhupada calls it a will-o'-the-wisp. And because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated, even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. How did the saintly person bless the four kinds of people? You know that story? Rajaputra, son of the king. Chiranjeev, better you live forever because, you know, you're really misusing the human form of life and wine, women, and song. So better you chiran long time, because when you do die, you're really in for it. Muniputra Majiv, son of the sage, son of the Muni. Better you just die right now, because you're living such a austere brahmachari life. Maybe later you'll be deviated. Better you just give up the ghost, give up the body, and go back to Godhead. Pure devotee, jivova morova. Either you live or you die, you're with the Lord. You're with him. And then, Prabhupada didn't give a Sanskrit for this. The butcher, the pashu. Majiv mamara. You don't live, you don't die, because every day you're going to work and your Prabhupada said, the blood stains, the ghastly scene. And then when you die, whoa! You're going to have to go through all that yourself. Wow. Yeah. To write a piece for BTG, I actually went to a slaughterhouse, took a tour. It was the best and the worst thing I ever did. The best, because it just reinforced everything we hear about the evils, the horrors of animal slaughter. And then the worst is because, like, it was, can you imagine witnessing what I saw? Okay, so Prabhupada continues. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do with anything material, for he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can he derive from material benedictions like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly with the end of the body. Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Suta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimisharanya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is Yoshitsangi, or one who is much attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. That means associating with ladies to exploit them. Doesn't mean no fault on the part of the women. It's the fault in how the men associate with them. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavat Sangi, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, and so forth. Such association is always desirable. It is worshipable. It is praiseworthy. And one may accept it as the highest goal of life. So, it's just a powerful reminder, this verse and purport, of how we always have to seek good sangha. Because what happens when we have good sangha, it purifies our desires. And then as our desires are purified, then it compels us to seek better and better sangha. It's like an upward spiral. Desire and sangha, they work upwardly and they work downwardly. They work positively, they work negatively. Yeah. So let's do that. And how are we doing? Okay, it's about 8:30. So I'm going to read the verse again. And then if you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Thus, having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the brahmanas, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune." Boy, is that really misguided, huh? Upside down and backwards. Okay, anyone? Prabhu, now you have to take mercy on me too, because I have 71-year-old ears, and we are living in Echo Loka. So when you make your question or comment, please do it really slowly and distinctly. Otherwise, I'm not going to understand a word you're saying.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, and thank you for blessing us with your association.
That's too fast. I warn you.
I don't know if I'll get through this. Thank you for your association. And
that's still too fast.
Thank you for your association.
That's better.
It's going to take forever.
Sorry. You'll find out when you get old how it is, you know.
Thank you for your association and for blessing us. Now I'm forgetting what I was going to say.
Oh, by the way, before I forget, please come tonight on time, 6:45, lesson 6. We're going to, if you like the last lessons, you're going to like these even more. This is where we just go, we sprint to the finish line. It's pretty intense. Tonight is his Varnashram challenge. Okay.
So Prabhupada was mentioning in this verse, Sadhu Sangha, and you were mentioning that if we associate with devotees in a proper way. And so one thing that keeps me maintaining my consciousness is there was one powerful quote that I heard. It says, we may be, as far as association is concerned, it says, we may be at the right place at the right time with the right people. But if we have the wrong mentality, nothing can give us happiness. Yeah. And we see the opposite of that. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten 22 marketplaces. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. But because he had the right mentality, everything can give us happiness. So my question is related to the pure devotee. We hear this word.
Your question is, slow down.
related to when we hear this phrase, pure devotee, all the time. So when we're associating with devotees, you know, we can't see consciousness, of course. So sometimes we become ungrateful of whatever association Krishna gives us, because it's not like we can improve it. Whoever comes, comes. And this association is obviously far better than the association of the material world. So how does Shaman go about approaching devotees without making aparas? And then, you know, you lose your Krishna consciousness, because you could be with the best devotees in the world, but still wrong mentality. So maybe
I'm going to give you the short answer, but for a more thorough answer, look at 11th canto. I think it's chapter 2. It's in the 40s. It talks about Kanishta mentality, Madhyam mentality, and Uttam mentality. So yeah, that's, you know, if I'm struggling to appreciate devotees, that means I'm not seeing them in the proper light. A Kanishta Adhikari, he sees the Lord only in the deities. I mean, I struggle to see the Lord even in the deities, you know. So I'm like an aspiring Kanishta, you know. That's a confession, you know. After 48 years, here I am, still trying to get up to the plate, right? So Kanishta sees the Lord only in the deities, and he doesn't see the Lord in the devotees. In the devotees. You know the famous story of M. Scott Peck, one of these community builders, life coach type guys. He wrote a famous book called The Road Less Traveled. Have you heard of this book? Devotees use a lot in their community building. And in the introduction, Scott Peck tells the story of a dying community. A dying community of monks. And they used to be a thriving community. But then they just, one by one, they started losing their members. And then it was getting, like, so critical. They were about to, like, become extinct. So there was a handful of monks left, you know, in the monastic community. And they just were speaking amongst themselves, what are we going to do? Everybody's leaving. And we want to turn this around somehow. So one of the monks said, yeah, I agree. I don't know what to do either. But, you know, there's a real wise rabbi over in the next valley, even from a different tradition, right? He was a rabbi. I don't think we have anything to lose. But let's approach him, call him in, and see with his wisdom what he thinks is our dilemma, and maybe he can give us a solution. So they approach him, and the rabbi agrees to come. And you know, his mood is, I don't know how I can help you, brothers, but I'll try. So they just start telling the rabbi the story of their community, how it once thrived, and then gradually it started to go downhill, and now there's only a few of them left. So the rabbi patiently heard the story and just said to them, I don't know what to say to you. I don't really know the answer to this question. But you brothers who have stayed, I can tell that one of you, one amongst you, is the next Messiah. I forget if that meant, you know, the next Jesus, or if it just meant the next savior of the community, but the idea was that one among you is qualified to be the next Messiah. So when the brothers heard what the rabbi said, they were thinking, well, it ain't me. So that means one of my brothers here is, and it could be any one of these brothers. So all of them were thinking like that. Whoever this Messiah is, it's not me, but it's one of these. So they all started treating each other as though they were pure devotees, right? The next Messiah, saintly. And that became such an attractive sangha that people started coming again and staying. So you're going to hear in lesson 9 of the Founder Acharya series, as one of the make, it's called Fictional Prabhupadas, you're going to hear, what is it? How do I put this one? Oh, yeah. It's, oh boy, I forgot now. Oh, this is exciting. I forgot my own lesson, so I myself. Anyway, you're going to hear how someone wrote Prabhupada a letter complaining about his GBC colleagues. It was a GBC member, and how they were, they're always fighting because they're so impersonal, and then you'll see how Prabhupada responded to that kind of fault-finding. And then how Prabhupada prescribed to turn around the vision of this GBC member, how Prabhupada prescribed that. So that's going to be Sunday morning. So come for that. Anyway, Trinadapi Sunichena. The only way to be in that. Why was Haridas Thakur where he was at? You mentioned Haridas. Yeah, he was incredible. Because he was always in that Amanina Manadena, even in the most extreme conditions, right? Oh, remember his persecutors? They said, Haridas, will you please die? If you don't die, we're going to get killed. We're going to get in trouble. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're going to get in trouble, then yeah, okay. So then he feigned death, right? He went into samadhi. They threw him in the river. And this is extreme humility, right? Can't even imagine it. Okay, good question, and that's a short answer. The longer answer, I mean, the more apt answer will be delivered by Srila Prabhupada on Sunday morning. Be there, be square, or be square. Okay, well, how are we doing here? Any more questions or comments? No, you don't do another one, because we might give a chance. I thought you were getting ready there. No, I know you can talk unlimitedly, but we need variety is the mother of enjoyment. No questions? Come on. I guess, the question is, what time is breakfast? Oh, I got it. Okay. I can't compete with Prasanna. What time is breakfast? You got to start somewhere, you know. Prabhupada told us in Miami, you have all come because of prasadam. And then he looked at the person who was fanning him. He was the temple president, Abhiram. You too, Abhiram? And Abhiram went right out of character. He was a real cool cat, you know, and then he just got very sheepish. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, me too. And Prabhupada said, Jai. He said, Jai, and his face wheeled over the assembled devotees, and we all went, Jai. Because we knew, and we knew that Prabhupada knew, it's why we joined and why we stayed. The beginning of the higher taste. Hey, we have a taker here, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hi.
Prabhu, just nice class. Just wanted to know what is the most memorable experience you had with Prabhupada, if you don't mind sharing with us.
That will be revealed. You have to come to the seminar.
Okay.
Can you come?
Tonight, okay. Yes.
Well, I mean, 2 Saturday and 2 Sunday, too. Just come to those and you'll hear. Yeah. Is Maharaj giving the Sunday feast talk? Okay, because if he doesn't give, I will do a Prabhupada lesson, Leela and Lessons class. They usually have me give the Sunday, but I told Maharaj that I want to hear him give the Sunday feast talk because I'm doing all these seminars. So, that's the time when I would tell. But there actually isn't one. It's like, what's my favorite Beatles song, right? Well, it depends on what mood I'm in. There's a confession right there, right? But I have a way of dovetailing the words in a Krishna conscious way. Yeah. That's part of the, let's see, are we going to hear? Oh, we already did that. Remember lesson 3? Talked about the Beatles? Yeah. That was one of the biggest arrangements of Lord Chaitanya, to arrange that the Pied Pipers of that generation would come to Prabhupada's lotus feet. They were being influenced from 67 on, because they got the Happening album, they got the album, and they were addicted to chanting. Okay.
Oh, and I...
Mataji, you have to speak very slowly.
Okay.
Because where are you from in India?
I'm from... I was born in Agra, but raised up in Varanasi.
Okay. So you got to speak... You pretend you're... Can you speak in American English?
No.
No.
I can't.
Because I can't speak. I can't. Anyway, go ahead. I'll try.
So my question is that... like you said about bad association and good association, so isn't it up to us to, like, not everybody has all the good qualities in one person and not everybody has all the bad qualities in a particular person? So, like, even if we are in the best association, we can take the bad qualities of that person. So it's really up to us. And also, like you said about devotees, so Paramatma resides in the heart, so all human beings, like who might not come to the temple, but they might have a good conscience, so they can't we just call them devotees and take the good qualities from them anyways? So that's...
yeah that's the answer. Yes. Chanakya Pandit said you should take gold even from a filthy place. That's what a devotee does. Devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, devotee says a devotee is is a saragrahi. He's saragrahi. He knows saragrahi Vaishnav. He's a person who can take the essence of life. So that's a devotee. If somebody's predominantly under the influence of lower modes, the devotee knows how to spot one good thing and fan it, and make the good stuff manifest more. That's how Jayananda Prabhu was. Jayananda Prabhu, he had a way of making you better than you were. And if he ever walked into a group of devotees who were criticizing another devotee, he had an uncanny way of turning the conversation around into a glorification of that person. And if he couldn't do it, he would leave. There's a nice story too about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Somebody passed away in a Gaudiya Mutt whom nobody really liked very much, because he was a kind of a fault finder. So even at his disappearance feast, while people were taking the feast, they were talking about his bad qualities, you know. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta heard it, he overheard it, you know, he was there. And then he stopped, he hushed the assembly and said, "And every day, so-and-so Prabhu washed his dhoti and hung it up very nicely and was always pukka clean." That was the one good thing. And so Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, really appreciated that. And he also made a point. Find the good. Don't be like the fly who goes for the sores. Be like the bee who goes for the honey. Yeah. Yeah, so we always have to seek out the good in anybody, you know, not just devotees. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because, you know, demon and devotee, that's different ends of a continuum. We're all like different, we're like at different places on the continuum. It's not a black and white thing. It's just... And Prabhupada would make fun of us sometimes. He would say, "Trying to purify you people," meaning us Westerners, "is like scrubbing coal. No matter how much I scrub, it's still coal. You know, there's no clean under the black coal." Yeah. Okay, are there any other... Okay, Jitendra Prabhu, we have the mic.
Didn't Prabhupada say that there are good people brought up in a bad society? You know that how that goes? There's a sequence of how he presented that. They're good people, but they're brought up in a bad society.
Well, I just know the quote that Prabhupada said a lot that's similar to that. He would say 99% of the people are good, they're just misled by bad leaders. And of course, it's our karma if I'm born into a place where there's a bad leader. Just like my favorite curmudgeon. Curmudgeon means somebody who's always seeing the bad. There's a famous curmudgeon journalist in the early 20th century named H.L. Mencken. And he was a famous reporter for the Baltimore Sun. And he made a prophecy in the 1920s that now has come true. Mencken said, I'm paraphrasing now, but it's basically it. American democracy is such that the day will come when the American people will elect an absolute moron. The day after the current president was elected, that quote went viral on the internet. So, no, I'm sorry, I forgot your question.
I remember Prabhupada, he didn't, about the devotees were complaining about Nixon. He says, well, you elected him, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, in democracy, the leader is responsible for, what is it, 1/6 of the bad karma of the people or something. Because that's the nature of the system. And the people get the karma too. So if we feel that somehow in America everything's more divisive and more, you know, criticizing, and well, that you can see the power of who's in charge. It filters down from that consciousness, infecting. Anyway, let's not go there. We have to seek out. The theme I put in my notes was, the theme of this verse and purport is Sangha. Good and bad. So we have to always be seeking the good and not be... We have to, first of all, be good Sangha for ourselves. Right? And how do we do that? We have to keep our ear to the ground of our Founder Acharya's pure, blissful, savvy Vani, his everlasting Vani. Okay, why don't we end it there? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinda ki jai.